see the fullness of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you
is the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. We're glad that you're here. God has a plan for you today. You believe it? Well, whether you believe it or not, He's got a plan for you today. All right. Just be open to receive what God has for you. It's 493. It's a wonderful old hymn. I sing it to myself or to Jesus, oftentimes, especially when things are going hard, that's a good time to sing this song, because you're confessing, it is well with my soul. Whatever's going on around me, what's going on inside of me, that's what's happening. Could you stand, and we'll sing 493, when peace like a river, amen, praise the Lord, when peace
trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Our hope is built on you, O God. Father, our hope is built on you. You are the Holy One of Israel, O God. You are the Holy One, O God. Lord, we honor you today with our praises. We honor you with our lives, O God. May you be glorified in your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name, Christ alone, cornerstone. Strong.
what to do, Lord God. Their minds are unraveled over circumstances, Lord, that seems to be beyond their control, Lord God. Lord, but our faith is not in our substance or our circumstances, but it's in our cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And Lord, that's what our faith should be on, is that cornerstone, Lord God. We shouldn't be shaken because, Lord, you're not shaken in this, through the trials, through the storms, Lord God. The one who created all this in 6 days, hung the earth, and it just stands there, Lord God, in the sky, Lord God, just being held by gravity, Lord God. You put the stars in place. You put the earth where it should be, in the right distance from the sun. And Lord, you care about the little things. You care about the little things in our lives, Lord God. Lord, our faith should be in you, that you care about what we're going through today, Lord, the trials, the circumstances today, Lord God. And inside our spirit should be nothing but joy because how much you care for us, how much you love us, Lord God. And our faith is on that, Lord God, that how much you love us. It's not that how much we love you, but how much you love us so much, Lord God, that you gave it all up, Lord God. You gave your Son, Lord God, so that we could have freedom in the Spirit, Lord God. We praise you, Lord.
We do praise you, Lord. Thank you. I thank you that we still have freedom to make a choice to stand for you. And I thank you that even when we don't have that freedom, that many will stand for you. We serve a God who is unshakable. Amen. We serve a God who is unchangeable. We serve a God who is unstoppable. We serve a God who doesn't need us, but he wants us.
Times and bad, you are on your throne, you are God alone, you are God alone.
Amen. Father, we're thankful, Lord God, that you're present with us here. Whatever the circumstances of our life may be, Lord, you are present here in this place with us now. And Lord, you make a difference. You make a change. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Lord God, continue to move amongst us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about God's call. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are here, that you're present, that you're calling, that you're, Lord, ready to speak into our hearts. You're wanting to speak into our lives. You're wanting to reveal truth into the innermost parts of our being that will be the key that will unlock us to freedom. Lord, we pray, Father, that each one of us would grant you permission to speak into our lives, and Father, that we will answer the call. That, Lord, we will know what to do. It may seem like an ancient thing, it may seem like an old-fashioned thing to listen to God. But Father, we pray, Lord, today in this house that you, Lord, would hear your people answer when you speak to us, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? How do you answer the call? I asked the kids, as I said, to do this. Like, what does it mean to answer the call? We live in a generation that doesn't know what an old-fashioned phone is, and they did that pretty good. They don't know what to do with it. And I think that in the church today, even then, certainly in our society, we don't understand what it means to answer the call of God. When God is trying to speak to us, how do we say, yes, Lord? How do we answer? When God is calling, how do you answer? When you answer your phone, what do you say? Well, different people say different things. I tend to say g'day. In fact, if I don't say g'day, some people will answer, will then respond, can I speak to Pastor Bruce? because they're used to me saying my Ottawa Valley g'day. Other people say hello. That's probably the most common thing that people say here. I did a little look online, and apparently in Germany. I know that those that answer the phone, they tend to say their last name. Now, Alton, you correct me, but Danes tend to say their whole name. That's what he does. I answer the phone, he says, Alton Jensen. Anyways, that's what they do in Denmark. They say their whole name. Russians say, I'm listening. Italians, in their language, say, ready. Spanish say, speak. And the Chinese, when they answer the phone, say, hey, hey, who are you? Different cultures, different things. But have you ever had a call from God? Well, you have. Every one of us has. Because God is calling each and every one of us. And there are two kinds of calls that God makes. There are, number one, there are the general calls of God. And second of all, there are the specific calls of God. The general calls of God are the call that every one of us is getting. The phone is ringing. You know how hard it is not to pick up a phone when it's ringing? I don't know if you find that. Roger has no problem. Okay. But I am tuned to, I find it very hard not to pick up the phone when it's ringing. It's very annoying. So please turn off your sound devices during the sermon. Amen. So it doesn't ring. But I find it hard not to pick it up. But you know, after a while, you do get used to it. If it keeps on ringing and keeps on calling, then I guess you get used to the sound and it kind of blends in with the other sounds that are going on and you just don't bother calling it. Well, there is a general call of God that's going out all the time. The Word of God declares it. And sometimes it takes crisis in your life. Terrible things, unfortunate things that wake us up and we can hear the call of God. And that's okay, because God can turn the negative into the positive in our lives. There is a general call of God that goes out to all believers, those that are followers of God. And those general calls are calls that God is making to us, all of us as believers. Now, years ago, I got a call, and I picked up the phone, and I said hello, and the answer was, hello there, this is Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada. And this was a few years ago, and I was kind of, wow! And then I said, well, I'm glad to, and then he goes on with the spiel. And then you realize, it's just, you know, it was the first time I got one of those kind of calls, you know, and it was him just going out to everybody. And now, when God speaks to us, everybody, as the body of Christ, we need to take it seriously. Now I'm getting calls from Doug Ford. Anyways, he's calling me up. It's not really, it's just going out to all, everybody, it's just going out like that generally. It doesn't mean it's not any less important. If a call goes out to everybody, it's still an important call. Some people now have, there's apps that they have downloaded for crisis, for tsunami, those people that living in tsunami areas along the coastline, their phone can go off and there'll be a call or a text or those kind of things that go out as a warning to everybody. Some people can download an app in their phone that when there is an Amber Alert, a child is missing, that they will all get that warning that will come out. It doesn't mean it's less important because it goes to everybody. It's very important. So what are the kinds of calls that God gives out? Well, Jesus, twice in Matthew records it, he says that many are called and few are chosen. But part what it means to be chosen is that you answer the call. You're one that gets called. And you answer the call, and so you become chosen because you answer the call of God. Now, what I'm going to give you is probably worth 6 or 7 weeks series of sermons, but of course, I like to cram it all in one, and as is my custom. But the first thing that God does, or he speaks to us as an entire group of people, there is a call going out to all believers, and it is a call to be saints. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this, to all who are in Rome. Now, I know he is being specific to just those that are in Rome, but the message is to all believers, beloved of God, who are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The call is going out to all believers to be saints. Now, depending on your background, perhaps you have Catholicism or Roman Catholicism in your background, and you thought that the saints were only those particular statues of people, that they were a specific group of ones who had extra meritus righteousness, that they are only a select few of individuals who managed to make it or achieve a certain level of spirituality. But God is saying that we're all called to be saints. And the word saint simply means holy, separated. He is saying that we're all called unto holiness. We're all called unto purity. We're all called unto righteousness. That is a call that is going out to every follower of Jesus. It seems like in these days that we're hesitant to answer that call, because there is a pull of the world that says, don't answer. There is a tug of the carnal. There's a tug of this world that says, don't bother answering that call. But God is calling all believers, whether you like it or not, you should like it if you're one of His. He's calling us to holiness. The old hymn says, called unto holiness, church of God. Every one of us, called to holiness. Don't hang up on God when He calls you into a deeper work, when He calls you into sanctification, when He calls you into separation, when He calls you into a place where He says, listen, you have to stand apart from this world. You have to be different from this world. You've got to think differently. You've got to act differently. You've got to live differently from the world. When God calls you, don't hang up on Him. Please. Please. It's a call that's going out to all of us. The call's been going out for many a century, called unto holiness, church of our God. It is to all of us. The second one that we're all called to is that we're all called into the fellowship of the Son, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Now, I'm going to go through all these scriptures here. I'm just putting them up on the bulletin board, so to speak. But you look them up. You get into your Bible and you look them up yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says this. God is faithful. Now, anybody say amen to that? God is faithful by whom, based on His faithfulness, by whom you all were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He is saying that based on the faithfulness of God, not our faithfulness, oh, thank you, Jesus, not the faithfulness of the church, glory to God, or your neighbor, or anybody else, or your partner, or whatever it may be, but based on the faithfulness of our God. That's pretty rock solid stuff. Based on that faithfulness, He says, you have been called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. That is a call that goes out to every one of us. Amen? Have you answered that call? You see, the word fellowship here, or the word koinonia in the Greek, does not mean having coffee or latte or a double-double. You see, sometimes we in the church think that that's what fellowship is. You know, and I know it's nothing wrong with having coffee in church, and if I had my way, we'd have tea and whatever else, be out there after church, and we just got to get volunteers to do that. And anyways, that's a good thing to do. But listen, that's not all it is to fellowship. Fellowship is not a double-double and latte. The word koinonia means come into the depth of relationship. Here's what one Bible author defines it, one exegetic author defines it. He says koinonia means this: fellowship, communion, participation. It expresses the blending of two wills into one common cause. That is what it was in secular Greek when Paul was writing. The blending of two wills into one common cause. And so he takes that word that's used in the secular society and he transplants that word koinonia and uses it in the context of God's faithfulness. And so what he's saying is when you come into fellowship with Jesus Christ, you've got to give up something. But you're going to gain something. And what you're going to gain is the likeness of Christ. What you're going to gain in this whole deal is that you are going to come closer into the image of Jesus Christ. You're going to become more like Him because of having fellowship with Him. If I have fellowship with you, you become more like me. Isn't that scary? Woo! Glory. That was a scared glory, not kind of a praise God. I don't know what that was. But, you know, I mean, but I become more like you too. What? Yeah, if we're truly having fellowship, it means I begin to come more like you. You begin to rub off on me. Iron sharpens iron. I become more like you. You become more like me. That's why the Bible warns not to have fellowship with darkness. Oh. It says don't have fellowship. It talks about in a marriage relationship or in a partnership, it talks about don't be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. What fellowship has light with darkness? What he is saying there is not we're putting down people that don't believe. What he is saying there is that when you enter into koinonia, when you enter into fellowship, you become more like them. Now they become more like you. That's a good part. There is a give and take. But when he talks about when you have fellowship with Jesus, this is what every Christian is called. The phone is ringing. God is calling. He wants you to come into intimacy with Him. Not just a buddy chat. Not just a latte or a coffee, as I'm saying. But that you actually melt. And His image is implanted upon you. All Christians are called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Is there an amen in the house? It's right here in the words. You can't deny it. All right? Paul writes of believers in Philippi, just in case you think that it's all coffee and goodies. He says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I don't have that one up there, but Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says this, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrections, and that I may share, it says in the NIV, in the New King James, the fellowship of His sufferings. Wait a minute. I don't know if I want to have that. You see, the same word here, koinonia, is used in this context again. And so when he says it in this context, that means Paul is saying, listen, I want to be able to be more like Him in His suffering. I want to engage in His sufferings. I want to engage in intimacy even with the sufferings of Christ. Oh, that's all the good things, but I want to be able to, as Jesus, you know what Jesus did in suffering? It says, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus handled suffering pretty good. Paul did not say, listen, I don't want to go through any suffering. I don't want to go through any hard times. I don't want to go through any difficulties. No, he says, listen, when I go through those difficulties, when I go through those hard times, I want to be in fellowship with Jesus. I want to be in koinonia with Him. I want to be able to understand things like He understood them. I want to be able to endure them like He endured them. The third thing that we are all called, you're all called into fellowship, you're all called into holiness. The phone is ringing, friends. The call of God is ringing also for us to be in peace, number three. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 15, God says through His servant Paul, He says, we are all called to peace. In the Hebrew, shalom. We're all called into peace in the Greek, herene. We're called into the state of not just a state of bliss, not just a state of the absence of war, but a presence of being at peace. And the context of this passage is a tough one. The context of this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, is the context of a failed relationship. The context of this passage is breakup and divorce. The context of this passage is the worst kind of things you can go through. And those that have been through this kind of experience know that a breakup, that marital or relationship issues can be some of the worst kind of emotional trauma that we can go through in our lives. And Paul says in the midst of this, he says we're called to peace. If you can be at peace in the midst of a difficult relationship, Paul is saying that's the kind of peace you're to have all the time. And we're not called to fight. We're called to be peace. Be at peace. It's the calling of God that every one of us, it doesn't matter what relationship we're in, is just using that. That's the context in the passage that he says it. But we're called to peace at all times. The Bible says in the book of Romans, it says, as much as lieth within you, you be at peace with all men. God in you will enable you to be at peace. The Bible says in the Old Testament, it says that when the blessing of God is on your life, he says he'll even make your enemies to be at peace with you. God calls his children into peace. We are to be peacemakers, the blessing of God says in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. We are called to peace. We're called to be peacemakers. We're called to be shalom in the midst of a situation when everything around is turmoil and everything around is pain and everything around is upset. God says, I'm calling you into that situation to be shalom. You're to be peace. Wow. That's what every one of our believers. So wherever believers are, if you're following me so far, if we're answering the call of God, if we're taking him up, when God calls every believer, we should be, this is what salt and this is what light is in our society. We are to be people of holiness. We are to be people in fellowship with his son. We are to be people of peace. And the last one is we are to be freedom. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says, all are called unto liberty. All are called into freedom. Now the context, and each one of these passages you'll notice I'm giving the context. The context of this passage, of course, is Paul is dealing with people trying to make people into legalists, trying to drag people back into the law, trying to drag people back into being in bondage again once they've been in freedom from the law, once God has set them free, and he and there's these teachers and these ideas that have come around, and people are saying, I guess I got to go back into the law. And Paul says this, listen, have you answered the call of God? If you've answered the call, you'll notice that God is calling us to liberty. God is calling us to freedom. That's what he's calling us to. In fact, it's a noun in this context. It's not just a verb that freedom is something that we do. The noun is that it's something that we are. I am free. We have a chorus or a song that says that. I am free. When you declare that, you're declaring who you are in Christ. You are free. Paul, in this context, again, the people are wandering away. They're putting handcuffs on themselves again. And he says, why are you doing that? Have you not heard from God? He says that you are free. That is what he declares for every believer. Are you answering the call of freedom? Have you? Are you listening to all the other voices? All the other voices that say you're no good. All the other voices that say you're not worth anything. All the other voices that say you got to do this and this and this. And that if you do all this, this and this, then maybe God will smile on you, but maybe not. Are you listening to those voices? Don't listen to those voices. Answer the call of God. God says you're free. Do you hear the ringing right now? You hear the ringing in your spirit right now? That's God calling. You better answer it. Because he's saying you're free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, Paul said in another passage of Scripture. Why do you want to be in bondage? Paul said in Galatians, he said, who has bewitched thee, O Galatians? Who has messed you up? I ask you the question, who's messed you up? Maybe it's the world, some man. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe somebody has spoken into you. Maybe they've said you're no good. Maybe they said you're not worth anything. Maybe your parents said it. Maybe your partner said it. Maybe a boss said it. Maybe your kids said it. I don't know who said it, but don't listen to them. Answer the call of God. He says you're free. It's a good call to answer, isn't it? Amen? That's the general call. I want to talk for a few minutes about the special call of God. Sometimes the phone rings and it's just for you. Amen? You know, remember they used to have phone booths? You know, you walk by the phone booth and the phone is ringing. There was a pastor in Arizona. I've told this story some years ago. He was actually not from Arizona, but he was traveling through Arizona, and he was traveling with his family, and he was at a gas station. And he was from California, but he was in Arizona, and he was just traveling through. You know, get the point? And he was at a gas station, and then this phone booth, because they had them back then, remember? The phone began to ring. And he went up to the phone, and you know, what do? You know, I mean, it's you look around, there's nobody else there. You kind of go, what do I do with that? It's tempting for a preacher, I tell you. You know, that phone started ringing right now, even though it's unplugged, I'd answer it. Amen? Especially because it's unplugged. Amen? And say, yes, Lord. But anyways, he couldn't take it any longer. He said, whatever, he picked up the thing, and he said, hello? And the voice at the other end said, is this the pastor? And he said, yes, it is. I am we're not just, when we're on holidays, we should still be a pastor. Amen? Amen. Anyways, this person in desperation had called out for help and didn't know what to do and just began to dial a few numbers. Nowadays, you can't phone a phone booth, I don't think. I don't think they let you. But anyways, back then you could. And so he just dialed some numbers. And here they got this pastor in Arizona, the pastor that was from the same town that he is from in California. Does God know your number? Yes, he does. Sometimes the phone is for you. You know, you hear a phone ringing and they ask somebody else. That's for that brother. That's for that sister. Yeah, the phone keeps ringing. No, that's somebody else. God, would you get them to answer that, please? But it's for you. And that's why it keeps on ringing. Because it's ringing for you. There is a special call of God that is not just for your neighbor, it's for you. It's what God is saying for you to do. And of course, as a pastor, I have my stories. I have my call of God story. I have my specific call of God. You know, I had a dream when I was at camp when I was 16 years old, and God showed me a place at this campground. And when I woke up, I asked the people, I said, is there a place like this? And they said, you go down that trail about half a mile, and there is a hilltop, and there is a lookout there. And that's what it is. And so I went to that place. I'm just kind of condensing it. I went there and I heard the voice of God tell me to call me into ministry. That was a very special call. But God has called since then a few times about some things that I got to do, especially for me. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me. How will you answer God's special call? Well, let's look at how a few of the old fellows answered the call. Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, you know the story about the burning bush. A pretty dramatic call of God. The phone was ringing. And Moses said, he answered and he said, who am I? Moses said when God called him, Moses says, I'm not able. no, it can't be for me. It's got to be for my brother Aaron or somebody else. Because you see, I am not very fluent in my speech, Moses said. You know, it's not good to argue with God. But how many of us have? He says, no, it's not. I can't do it. But friends, when God calls, He will also equip. If God is calling you and to do something special, if God is calling you to do something specific, if God is calling you to do something for Him, whether it's you might think it's a small thing to talk to your neighbor or some small thing to do something for somebody, or it might be something that you might think is way beyond your capability of doing, that's fine, because what God calls, He equips. Then there's the call of Gideon. Gideon was called in Judges chapter 6. He was called, and what did he say to God? He says, I am the least of my father's house. That's what he said literally in Judges 6:15. What he said was, I'm not important enough. This must be a wrong number, God. You've called the wrong guy. It's the wrong number. It's not me. It's somebody else. He says, my family is the least of my tribe, and my house is the least of that tribe. And he says, I'm the least of the least. He says, listen, no, it's the wrong number. But how do you know that God calls the broken? God calls the hurting. God calls the ones that think that they can't do anything because of the circumstances that they are in. And he says, I want to call you. Why? Because I'm going to get all the glory then. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me look there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, Paul the Apostle, the New Testament, he says this. 1 Corinthians, right at the beginning, chapter 1, verse 26, he says this. He says, for consider your calling. Consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble, but God has chosen to call the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the things which are strong. Verse 29. So that nobody may boast before God. What is he saying there? He's saying, I call the weak, I call the ones that struggle, I call the ones that have problems, because I'm going to get all the glory. Because they can't stand and say, I did it! Look at me, look how strong I am, look how smart I am, look how able I am, look at my wonderful family background. If you've got a few skeletons in the closet, friends, then just join the rest of us. We've all got issues at home. We've all got issues at family. We've all got issues in the background, and that does not make you less called. It just makes you more called. Then there was the child Samuel. I move on. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8, he says this, the child, he had the right idea. Amen. When the child, now he didn't get it at first, if you know the story. He didn't get it just right off the bat. He didn't know who was calling him. Remember Samuel, the little child? Some of you don't know the story. That's fine. Samuel the prophet, he became a mighty man of God. But when he was just a child, he was in Eli's house and he was there. He heard the call, but he figured it was somebody else. He didn't think it was God. And so he ran into Eli and he said, listen, here I am. What do you want? And he says, I never called you. So he went back to bed, and he hears the call of God. The phone rings, so to speak, again. He says, he runs into the room, and he says again, he says, what do you want? And Eli says, I didn't call you. It wasn't my voice. Eli begins to get the idea. He says, listen, next time you hear that voice, he says, next time that phone rings, next time you say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And so he did. The next time, that's exactly how he answered. Zechariah, when he answered the call of God, that is Zechariah in the New Testament. Zechariah was the husband of Elizabeth. When God called him, and God called the called him to be the father of John the Baptist. He said, oh, I didn't put it in. Oh, there it is. How shall I know this? His answer to God when God called, well, how will I know it's true? How will I know it'll happen? Sometimes that's how we answer the call of God. But friends, Isaiah is the one I really want to focus on. Isaiah, when God called him in Isaiah 6 and 8, he said, here, Lord. That takes a level of maturity. That takes a level of discipleship. It takes a level of passion. It takes a level of where God has worked on you and made you at a place that when he calls you, you'll be able to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Now let me also say this, that when God calls you, it's always the right time. Because God calls you in the right time. There was a rich young ruler, of course, we know the story in Matthew chapter 19, that came to Jesus. He came through the crowd. Jesus was calling for some disciples. He had some disciples. He was doing some miracles, doing some wonderful things. And this young rich young ruler wanted to get on board with the program. He had it all together. Had money and good looks for all I know, and who knows what else. But Jesus knew his heart. See, the unspoken question here was regarding the call of Jesus was, how much will it cost me? And he didn't say it out loud, but God knows the heart and God knows the answer and God knows everything about our heart, whether we speak it out loud or not. And Jesus basically said to him, listen, you want to follow, that's great. You want eternal life, that's great. You want to be on the program, that's wonderful. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Oh! Cost too much. The Bible says that young man walked away sad because he was not willing to pay the price. We know there's a cost to following Jesus. We know that when God calls and that phone rings in our heart, and we know that when we say yes to God, there will be a cost. But also remember that Jesus paid it all. Any kind of cost that we give, anything that we give up for God, it's only for our own good. It's because he's got something better. When you say yes to the call of God, it means that God has a wonderful plan. Sir Ernest Shackleton, I end with this. The great explorer hailed from Kildare, County, Ireland. Became an explorer of the Arctic in 1914. He put together an expedition. He had already been to the Arctic before. He became famous. He went on the speaking tour. This is just before World War I started, actually, 1914. And so an article was placed in the paper, and here's how he advertised for those that wanted to come with him to explore the Southern Pole. The ad in the New York Times that day read this: men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. I suppose nobody answered that call.
Sir Ernest.
You know that over 5,000 young men responded to that ad? Ah, they must be crazy! Did you read it right? Hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful? And there were many. Hundreds who wanted to be part of it. Just a few months after this was put out, after the journey in the South, of course, we know that World War I began, and in Canada alone, close to 1 million people were equipped and signed up. At a time in our nation We think of a million now. A million now would be a huge part of our population. Imagine in World War I, a million people. Not just in soldiers, but on every kind of rank and every kind of home guard and every kind of thing. People signed up. But sign up for that, friends, when God calls you, there will be a cost. But our reward is to hear the Master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." How will you answer God's call as music comes? How will you answer God's call? Will you be the man or woman of God that God has called you to be? Are you willing to accept the responsibility that God has laid upon you? God is calling. Are you answering? Father God, as we pray, Lord, there are things that the Spirit of the living God is saying to us today. Lord, you're calling every one of us. You're calling every soul, every individual in this place. First of all, there is a call that's going forth for salvation. There is a call that says many are called and few are chosen, but those who answer that call will be chosen because He is faithful. There is a call going forth right now that says, will you accept Jesus Christ? Will you come to me, the Lord says. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laid, burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest for your soul. There is a call come ringing o'er the restless waves. There is a gospel call that's going forth out of Zion, a call that goes from the hill of Golgotha, a call that goes out from the cross, a call that says, come unto me. Is there any this morning, perhaps, that would answer that call? The call's for you. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not been born again, as Jesus called it, if you've not given your life to Jesus, then answer the phone, please. It's ringing for you. Say yes to God. If you are a believer here today and God is calling you because you're one of His, and He says, listen, here's what I'm calling you to do. I'm calling you to holiness. I am calling you into intimate fellowship, into the likeness of Jesus Christ. I am calling you into peace. I am calling you into freedom. And would you answer that call today? And if the phone is ringing specially for you in your heart, because there is a task for you to do, whether God is calling you into full-time ministry, it can happen. It can happen in a service. It can happen in this place right now. This can be the day that you answer the call and God says, listen, I want to call you into service. I know, and you know, and you know, and you know that God is calling you to serve Him in a special capacity. And would you say yes to the call of God today? Would you do so in coming to this altar today and spending some time in prayer, seeking the Lord, or wherever it may be, even in this church somewhere, just staying time and praying. But we'd love to pray for you at the front if that's the case. If any one of those is the case, we'd love to pray for you today. Lord, we just ask, oh God, that you would just help us, Lord, to say yes to you today in every way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing this little chorus as we go.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord.
We're going to continue to sing, but I'm going to dismiss you with a word of benediction today. May the grace and the mercy and the peace of God our Father, of the Son and of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you today. In Jesus' name.